Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, John Monroe for the appellant, Gray Peterson.
Now, since you've already heard that this Court takes an interest in its jurisdiction and mootness, so I have a question about that. I heard on the news last night that the reciprocity statute passed the House with a significant majority, and it's been moving fairly quickly. If that becomes law, does that moot this case?
Well, I guess, Your Honor, I'm not familiar with that bill that's in the House. There already is a reciprocity statute.
Well, as I understood from the news, there's a statute that passed a significant margin in the House yesterday that requires every state to accept a concealed carry license from any other state that's...
I'm sorry. You're talking about the federal statute, H.R. 822.
Yes.
If that were to pass, I could see where that would change the tenor of this case, but it of course hasn't passed.
Since it's moving, it seems to have been moving fairly quickly. I only heard about this issue in Congress recently. So my question is, should we pay any attention to that, or would the adoption, if that passes both houses and is signed by the president, would that moot your case here? I just wanted to make sure about that.
I think it certainly would moot the reciprocity issue, which was dismissed and not decided on the merits below. I haven't really given thought to whether it would moot the remainder of it. I can think of at least one reason why it would not, and that is under the Federal Gun-Free School Zone Act, a person is exempt from that act if he possesses a license issued by the state in which the school zone is located. So, in other words...
A license to do what?
A license to carry a weapon.
Concealed weapon?
It doesn't matter whether it's concealed or not. Under the federal gun-free school zone.
We looked carefully in my chambers, to see whether you had brought an open carry claim and whether that was before us. I find nothing in your amended complaint that puts that at issue before us. Is it or is it not at issue?
Well, the issue isn't an open carry claim. It's a carry claim.
I understand. But on the open carry, that is not expressly before us. It's
no,
that's
my
a claim, correct?
Correct. My client's indifferent. He wants to be allowed to carry a firearm.
Wait a minute. If I think the answer to Judge Lucero's question is extremely important because you're citing... And it's been cited paragraphs 8, 11, and 12. And are you now saying that you have not raised the issue of Denver County and the fact that you have not pled the carry question?
Perhaps I misunderstood Judge Lucero's question.
Well, then you better ask him to repeat it again because
I'm interested in your question.
Well, we have not. Separately pled an issue of open carry versus concealed carry.
You have not specifically challenged the Denver ordinance, have you?
No, we have not. We accept the ordinance as it is and the fact that a license is required and are playing by the game and saying, okay, we want a license.
Well, we just want to know whether, because it's important, I think, to this panel, whether you're asking us to overturn the Denver ordinance that prohibits the open carrying of weapons, handguns, in this city. That's not a throwaway question.
No, and I agree, it's not a throwaway question. We're not specifically asking that. We're asking that my client be allowed to carry a firearm in Denver,
okay,
openly or concealed. He's indifferent,
okay,
and we're trying to follow the scheme that's in place that requires a license, so he applied for a license.
So the main thing at issue is basically the licensing provision that we have to decide.
Correct, and the issue of whether
a license is even necessary.
He hasn't challenged the necessity for a license. He's accepted that. I mean, certainly one could challenge it. They're kind of intertwined.
So you're presenting a very narrow question for us to consider then.
Yes, we're asking for an order that my client be issued a license because he's otherwise qualified for one.
Here's my concern, which may underlie the other questions that have been asked.
I'm not certain that the Supreme Court would follow this now, but we feel pretty bound by clear dictum by the Supreme Court, and there's a case more than 100 years old, I believe, by the Supreme Court, that the right to bear arms does not include the right to carry a concealed weapon. So the reciprocity statute doesn't impinge, under that precedent, on the reciprocity statute you're challenging with respect to concealed weapons. Doesn't infringe the right to bear arms. What you argue is that you should have the right to carry a weapon in the outside your home. When you're a law-abiding citizen. Rather than challenging the ordinance that forbids you from doing that, you're challenging a statute that relates to an interest that is not protected by the Second Amendment or as incorporated by the 14th Amendment to apply to the states. And that's the essence, I think, of the standing argument being made by the state in this case, and it strikes me as a pretty good argument. Can you respond to that? If I'm at all clear, maybe I haven't been clear.
I'll try. If it sounds like I'm going astray, please interrupt me. The issue with my client is he wants to be able to carry a firearm. Denver has the ordinance. It doesn't ban carrying a firearm. It just requires a license. Now, my client could have attacked that provision requiring a license. He may or may not have prevailed in something like that.
Well, we're still trying to define the issues, trying to ask while Judge Harris was asking a question. I think if you're noticing that we're struggling a little here, it's because we're trying to figure exactly what we have to decide and what we don't have to decide, because it might make our task a little easier. Also, we have general policies that we don't decide matters that aren't presented to us. So are you then saying, in response to Judge Harris's question, to Judge Hart's question, that the only real beef that you have is the fact that you were denied a license, or is your beef the proposition that no license should be required?
We've not raised the latter issue, that no license should be required. However, if the license requirement is so onerous that it deprives someone of the right to bear arms, then that does impinge on the license requirement.
Yeah, but we've got two different entities, actually three. You've got the city of Denver, the county of Denver, and you've got the state of Colorado. And this is what we're trying to separate out. Are you attacking the fact that the city of Denver, and I believe the county of Denver, say that you can't even carry an open weapon in the streets here in these counties? Your other claim is against the state for not issuing you a license to carry a concealed weapon. I think that's what we're trying to get at.
The state does not issue licenses. That's done by the county sheriff. So there's a beef against the county sheriff.
It's the state statute that's involved.
And the problem is Denver has relied on the existing state licensing procedure for its own ordinance against carrying a firearm. The problem could have been resolved if Denver had created its own ordinance with its own license requirement. It didn't do that. So it's using a license that was designed for another purpose, carrying a concealed weapon throughout the state, and they're trying to, then Denver uses that for as a license to carry a firearm at all in the city.
Open or otherwise?
Open or otherwise.
Okay, now that goes back to Judge Lucero's question and mine under have you pled that? Because all you refer to is paragraphs 8, 11, and 12. And does that bring that issue clearly into focus? Because we got standards that we have to apply. And that's what I'm wanting to know. If you're attacking the fact that in one instance they're just prohibiting you from even carrying a weapon of any kind anywhere versus the right to have a concealed weapon. Am I making myself clear?
Well, I think so. We're not attacking the right to... We're not saying that there's a right to carry a concealed weapon We're only saying there's a right to carry a weapon. And if a governmental entity wants to license that right, as long as the licensing process is not overly burdensome, that's fine.
All right.
So we're not attacking the existence of a licensing system. What we're attacking is my client, who is a law-abiding citizen, there is no information in the record that indicates that he's not, can't get a license, and therefore can't exercise the fundamental rights to bear an arm in the city of Denver.
And but it seems to me that your beef is with the Denver ordinance, and because that prohibits you from exercising what you contend is your constitutional right to bear arms, your client, that therefore we ought to do something about the state statute. And that's, I don't think that's the right way to challenge the municipal ordinance.
Well, we're not saying something should be done about the state statute. We're saying that my client should be issued a license. Denver has identified this license requirement.
Don't all your arguments about the license relate to the reciprocity statute? Isn't that the basis of all your legal arguments in your brief, that the reciprocity statute is not rational? It's an
we have two separate
on various rights.
Yeah, we have two separate claims, really. The failure of Denver, of the Denver sheriff, to issue a license, and then the failure of the state to give reciprocity to my client's license. But those are two separate claims in the case. And the latter one was never decided on the merits because it was dismissed early on. So there is no decision on the merits on that, and we're asking the court to reverse on that as well. Your Honor, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time, if I may.
You've been very patient, and it's reserved. You haven't had a chance to argue any of your case. I was sitting here wondering if we shouldn't have to schedule further arguments in this case at some point. Don't be surprised if we do. But in any event, we'll let you know. Counsel, we're ready to hear from you as well. Have we made your task easier or harder? Mr. Grove.
May it please the Court. My name is Matthew Grove. I'm here on behalf of the two state defendants in this case. The executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Safety, who was originally named as a defendant and dismissed on 11th Amendment immunity grounds, and Colorado Attorney General John Southers, who intervened in the case when it became clear that Denver wasn't going to mount a substantive defense of the state statute.
And so you're telling us that you are also representing the interests of Denver and the County of Denver?
I don't think we are. And it's for the very reasons that Mr. Monroe spent 15 minutes up here talking about. The Denver ordinance and the state statute are two different entities.
We have two parties. We have before us Alvin LaCobb as manager of the safety for the city of Denver and Peter Weir as executive director of the Department of Public Safety for the state of Colorado. Now, are you with the Attorney General's office or the city attorney's office?
I'm in the Attorney General's office, and I represent Mr. Southers, the Attorney General of Colorado, intervened. He's the third party to defend the constitutionality of the state statute.
Well, who's representing Charles F. Garcia?
There's been a lot of turnover, and I think Mr. Garcia is the Denver ex officio sheriff. Is that right?
The manager of safety for the city and county of Denver.
Well, that's presently Justice.
It's Justice Martinez now.
Martinez now.
Yeah, it's been a revolving door there.
He retired from the Supreme Court, and he's now assumed those duties.
That's right.
So who's representing him?
The city and county of Denver did. They waived their opportunity to participate in this proceeding.
What?
They didn't file a brief.
Wow. And, okay. And we're ready to hear you.
I can probably provide a little bit. I can probably provide a little bit more background on that, and I'm not trying to excuse that. But I think that the reason they did so was because the Denver ordinance was never challenged in the first place.
Well, but that's the question that we've got to decide, whether under paragraphs 8, 11, and 12, is it raised? I mean, in the amended complaint. That's why we were hammering your opposing counsel so hard.
I can see why they're not appearing. They're saying, hey, this is a due process matter. It hasn't been pled, and you don't have authority to enter any orders revoking our ordinance.
Well, and And I think that it's for exactly that reason that Denver didn't participate substantively below. I mean, whether or not they actually wanted to mount a substantive defense on behalf of the state statute that the ex officio sheriff is charged with enforcing, that was a policy decision that they made. But it's very clear that they never interpreted the plaintiff's complaint or the amended complaint as mounting any sort of challenge on the Denver ordinance. And that's exactly why, in my opinion, they didn't substantively participate in the proceedings below. And so what we're left with then is, as the court pointed out a few minutes ago, at least on the Second Amendment issue, a challenge to a state statute that doesn't implicate the Second Amendment right at all. Because under Robertson versus Baldwin, which is the case that Judge Hartz mentioned earlier, and you know it's arguably dicta, but it's
well,
held up for
a 100-year-old case doesn't make it dicta.
It's held up for a long time, and I think it was positively cited in both Heller and McDonald. There's language in both those cases that says we're not calling into question longstanding restrictions on firearms, and it lists a bunch of them. Concealed carry is not listed exactly, but it's cited positively, at least in Heller. I'm not sure if it is McDonald. They're both long cases, and I can't remember
so
exactly.
The gentleman, just all he wants is his gun. It just seemed to me that if it would have made the whole case go away instead of a major constitutional case, he might have just settled with it.
Well, there are two problems with that. One, the state doesn't have any authority to issue the license. That is something that's up to the Denver manager of public safety. And so the state can't do anything about it. Second, issuing him a license would be a flat-out violation of what the state law says.
Let me help move you along a little bit. Under the statute that we're talking about here, the first requirement was that you had to be a citizen of the state of Colorado.
You have to be a resident.
A resident, and this gentleman's not. But he has the reciprocity rights from other states that don't require that. And this is where he's hammering away at several areas of the Constitution. Because granted, the case law seems to say that you know, you don't have a right to carry a concealed weapon, that those are matters of public safety. Now, the other four prongs all seem to go to that issue of that statute. But I don't see how in the world, whether I'm a resident of the state of Colorado or a resident of, I believe he was a resident of the state of Washington, has anything to do with the safety aspect of it when you have sister states that don't even require that, and by reciprocity you recognize those.
Well, there are two different issues here. We need to make sure that we separate the reciprocity issue from the issuance of a Colorado concealed carry permit. The district court didn't reach the reciprocity issue on the merits because it found that the executive director had 11th Amendment immunity. And the reason the executive director had 11th Amendment immunity is because he is not responsible for administering Colorado's reciprocity scheme. To the extent that anyone is responsible for that, it's the local sheriffs.
So we've got the local sheriff and the county involved, and they're not here. They're not at the table.
Yes, they've declined to participate. But the reason they've declined to participate is because they were not named as a defendant on the reciprocity issue. Only the executive director of the Department of Public Safety was.
If we determine that that wasn't pleaded.
Sure. Yes. And so the other issue, and reciprocity.
So then continuing to explore the limit, the level of our jurisdiction here, the substantive matter, subject matter jurisdiction, is the only thing we have to decide the reciprocity issue, as you understand it?
No, I think there are two jurisdictional issues, and there is one substantive issue that you have to decide that you can use to dispose of this case. The jurisdictional issues, the first one is, did the district court correctly rule that the executive director had 11th Amendment immunity and therefore was not subject to the reciprocity claim?
So, as an individual or ex officio?
In his official capacity.
In his official capacity.
That's how he was sued.
Right.
So that's the reciprocity issue. Let's set that aside for a second. The remaining two issues have to do with
qualified immunity. State the issue again. Whether the
whether the executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Safety was subject to suit for his alleged role in administering Colorado's reciprocity statute, or whether he had 11th Amendment immunity against that claim.
In his official capacity?
Yes.
All right. That was decided on the pleadings and a review of statutes. The opposing party is claiming that since they alleged he had that authority and the statutes don't explicitly state he doesn't have that authority, then that's an issue that needs to be resolved, at least at summary judgment, but not at the pleading stage. Is that right?
That's how I understand the plaintiff's argument. Our position was that the district court got it right, and that was that his allegation that the executive director was in charge of administering the reciprocity scheme was directly contravened, is directly contravened by Colorado statute.
But I thought there was an admission that he keeps track of the reciprocity statutes. He's the one who decides whether there should be reciprocity with another state.
Keeping track and deciding are two very different things.
Well,
the question has to do with authority. And the fact that the executive director of public safety, it's actually the CVI, keeps track of this for the convenience, acts as a clearinghouse for local law enforcement officials, doesn't somehow transform what he does into having some authority over administering the scheme. The fact is, as a factual matter, the authority for this is given to the local sheriffs. They're empowered to do this, and they can ignore the list. All CBI does is put it together and say,
well, they don't have the resources to check each.
That's exactly right.
So that's something that the state agent does, and is that not enough to overcome the 11th Amendment immunity contention?
The question is whether that list has any real meaning from a legal perspective. A local sheriff could, if he wanted to, completely ignore it. The CBI, the executive director of public safety, can't order the sheriff to say, well, you need to give reciprocity to Kansas permits, when that local sheriff maybe consulted his county attorney and disagrees with that interpretation of the law.
Was an indispensable party motion filed below and ruled on?
To my knowledge, no.
And is the sheriff of the county of Denver a party to these proceedings?
Yes, but not vis-a-vis the reciprocity claim.
Well, is there a different complaint other than the complaint I've got in my hand, which is the amended complaint in case number 10-CV-59?
That's the last one that I've seen.
Well, I hand it to you, and you may approach the bench for that purpose and ask you where you see the sheriff of the county of Denver named as a party in those proceedings. We normally do that in the style of the complaint. We don't do it in the pleadings. I mean, he hasn't been. You got to sue somebody, and you just told me that he hadn't been served. And he chose not to appear.
He did appear. The sheriff did appear below, but he didn't mount a substantive challenge.
Oh, darn! You mean he appeared even though he wasn't sued? So
he was. The sheriff was sued below.
Well, and then show me in the complaint where he was.
It's paragraph 5, Your Honor. It says.
Well, that's a plea. That's part of the pleadings. That's not part of the style of the complaint.
It's the sheriff, and maybe this is
caption.
A confusion. The when I refer to the sheriff, that is Denver doesn't have an elected sheriff. Denver has a safety manager.
Right, the manager of safety.
And that's the ex officio sheriff. That is Alvin McCabe. And that's so it's Gray Peterson versus Alvin McCabe in his official capacity.
And does it then under the state scheme, Mr. McCabe assumes the administrative authority to make that to issue or not issue a permit?
He has the sole authority to do that. The state has no authority over that.
All right.
Nor does the state have any authority to order Mr. McCabe or any other sheriff to recognize or not recognize another state's permit for reciprocity purposes.
All right. Thank you.
Now, I thought I heard that the district court didn't address the constitutionality of the reciprocity statute because the state's officer was given 11th Amendment immunity, but that could still be raised in the challenge to the sheriff's
authority, could it not?
It could. And in fact, if you look at the motion to dismiss that's in the record, I'm sorry, the ruling on the motion to dismiss that's in the record, the district court explicitly invited Mr. Peterson to amend his complaint to include the sheriff as a defendant on that claim. Mr. Peterson didn't do it.
Okay, so the reciprocity statute was challenged only in the claim against the state officer.
That's accurate.
Okay.
So that's the first issue. The second issue, and it's a substantive one, and I think that Mr. Peterson does have standing to raise this, and the court is going to need to reach a substantive ruling on it, is privileges and immunities.
Right.
And privileges and immunities has to do solely with the fact that Mr. Peterson is alleging that as a matter of under Article 4, Section 2, or maybe under the 14th Amendment, I'm not really clear the genesis of the claim, that he should be accorded the right to a concealed handgun permit in the same way that citizens of Colorado are. I'll address that substantively in a moment. But the third issue is the Second Amendment issue. And that's the issue that we have argued that basically Mr. Peterson challenged the wrong statute and that he doesn't have standing because he can't trace any alleged Second Amendment injury to the fact that he wasn't issued a concealed handgun permit because concealed handgun permits are not protected by the Second Amendment. There's no Second Amendment right to carry a concealed firearm in the first place. So therefore, our position is that he had to mount a challenge to the law, and in this case it happened to be the Denver Ordinance, that actually had some potential impingement on that Second Amendment right. I don't have much time left. If the court wants to hear anything.
Why don't you keep arguing until we tell you to stop?
Okay. That could be dangerous.
Supreme Court used to take 5 hours, or 2 days, I'm told, so we'll...
But just remember, remember, we're not the Supreme Court, though.
Right. give us a minute.
What, really? What are you guys going to do? Do you want to just reset this for hearing? Do you want to reset it for argument? I mean, we haven't even started the argument yet. This is our time. What do you think?
Well, I've got time, and you don't.
We just now got to proceed. We totally took the first guy's top up with questions. Yeah. Never given a chance to do it.
I think we're going to make it easy on you. The court is of the opinion that we will eventually need to reschedule this case for further argument.
We beat up on the other counsel so long that he didn't even get to argue hardly.
All he did is answer questions on jurisdiction.
Okay. Thank you.
So thank you, counsel. Mr. Monroe, you have 3 minutes. I'm going to make it 4 minutes since we went over with Mr. Grove.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I want
not to ask any questions, but don't hold us to it.
Okay. First, I want to address just a couple of things that Mr. Grove mentioned. One, the issue of the concealed handgun permit and it being outside the Second Amendment, just to reiterate what I said in my opening remarks, we're not seeking to carry a concealed handgun. We're seeking to carry a handgun, openly or concealed. It's clear that states can prohibit one and allow the other. Some states prohibit open carry and require concealed carry. Colorado prohibits concealed carry and requires open carry. That's fine with us. My client just wants to carry
a
handgun.
But in the city of Denver, you're prohibited from openly carrying a weapon.
Yes, he has to get a license.
And you didn't challenge that ordinance. We're just trying to, at this point, and I think it probably helped us the most, given that we're going to hear further argument, it just really helps us the most if we just know what it is you have challenged, what it is you have not challenged, what we ultimately have to decide. Very helpful to us.
Okay. And to that point, we have not challenged the requirement to have a license to carry a handgun in Denver. What we've challenged is the inability to get that license. And the Denver sheriff, who actually is the Denver manager of public safety and is by law the ex officio sheriff of Denver County, we sued him directly for failing to give the license that was applied for.
So and that's where they granted
the immunity?
No, no. That the immunity was to the executive director of the State Department.
Okay.
He was granted 11th Amendment immunity.
Okay.
And we alleged in our complaint, as Judge Hartz mentioned, that that the executive director does administer the reciprocity system, and the district court dismissed the executive director based on a statute that only addresses the licensing issuing scheme, which is within the sheriff's departments. The Denver sheriff issues the license, but the reciprocity is administered by the state. It's incredible to believe that on a county-by-county basis, Colorado has reciprocity with Washington in one county but not another county. That can't be the law. It doesn't make any sense.
That you have challenged. The disparate treatment aspect of the case.
Yes, that was the reciprocity issue that got dismissed, so it wasn't decided on the merits yet.
The disparate treatment of reciprocity.
Yes.
Well, you didn't make any argument about distinctions between the counties within Colorado.
No, because and not until we got into the case did we learn that that was even the state's position, that each sheriff is responsible for administering the reciprocity
system. But that's a matter of the statutory scheme, isn't it?
But the statute doesn't say that. The statute is silent on who administers it, and we allege, as a matter of fact, in our complaint, that the executive director does it on behalf of the state. We allege that as a fact, and there's not a statute that says anything different.
We just heard from opposing counsel that each sheriff of each county in Colorado doesn't have to pay any attention to the reciprocity statute. Now, is that anywhere written?
No, I don't believe it is, and in fact, the short brief that Denver did file in this court disagreed with that position of the state and says Denver sheriff doesn't have anything to do with reciprocity. Doesn't administer it. That's the state. It's not us.
I think what counsel said was that nothing requires a sheriff to follow whatever decision the state official makes regarding whether Colorado has reciprocity with Georgia or Ohio or some other state. Is there something that requires, that gives a state official some authority over the county sheriff to say, you have failed to recognize reciprocity with Ohio, and you have to change that, or you have given reciprocity where you shouldn't have?
Your Honor, I'm out of time. If I'm
You're out of time. We have one of our colleagues has a plane to catch. Here's what we'll do.
May I have an answer, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Just give me one second. Here's what we're going to do. If you go ahead and answer Judge Hartz's question, then you're out of time. We'll reschedule the case for further argument. We may enter orders for supplemental briefing on certain aspects of the case. We'll let you know on that. And I didn't mean to cut you off, Harris, so please answer Judge Hartz's question, and then we'll be in recess.
The statute is woefully silent on the administration of reciprocity. It doesn't say who administers it. It doesn't say that the state can or can't require the sheriffs to follow what it says, and that's why it was inappropriate to dismiss on a motion to dismiss instead of, as you said, on a motion for summary judgment.
Good enough. Counsel are excused. The court is in recess until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock or 8:30 in some instances. Thank you.